It's 20 minutes past three, and time now for the final edition of Jez's Friday Phobia. This is where we investigate the weird and wonderful of Cambridgeshire through people's fears. And today we've reached the letter X for xerophobia. Which, well, X, we're saying that sounds like a Z. Well, it's X like Xerox. And it's a fear of dryness. And my next guest laughs in the face of dryness because he has crossed many deserts. I welcome onto the show a chap who, in fact, got in touch when we were talking about people losing the joy of driving. And we asked for your memorable driving experiences. He said, well, I've got one for you. Alex Collard from the Rusty Rhinos. A very good afternoon to you, Alex.
Afternoon.
First of all, I should ask, because people are wondering, what exactly is a rusty rhino?
Well, it all began back in 2007 when we started taking part on the Mongol Rally 2007. We had to come up with a team name. We had an old rusty car, it was an old Suzuki, and Rhinos was associated with that model. So we called
ourselves. Oh yeah, you see it on the back of the tyre holders on the back.
Do you?
What is the Mongol Rally then?
Mongol Rally. It's a part of an organisation that organises rallies from London through to Mongolia. It's like an organised event. So that's what got us kicked off.
So tell me that journey then. Where does that pass through from London through to Mongolia?
Across Europe, then Ukraine, into Russia, Kazakhstan, Russia again, and then across Mongolia to Ulaanbaatar.
Does that cross deserts? Forgive my lack of
Kazakhstan and Mongolia, certainly.
Yeah, they definitely count. And what are the conditions? So the conditions deteriorate the entire journey then? They just get worse the further you go?
The further east you go, the more sparse it gets, certainly. Yeah, once you're outside Ukraine and Russia, there's very, very little going on.
And since then, so that gave you a taste of it, of sort of off-roading, all-terrain driving. What, before that point, what had your experience been? What was the closest you'd got to that?
Not a huge amount, to be honest. We travelled around Corsica a few years before, but road-based, and, you know, fairly built-up areas. But other than that, in terms of expeditions, that was our first, and yeah, nothing else compares.
So you've been on a nice Corsican driving holiday.
That's right.
But as far as off-roading, maybe if you'd gone to a surplus car park at Village Fate.
Maybe, or in our Land Rovers if you go down the odd green lane in Cambridgeshire, which there are many of. But other than that, yeah, just lanes around the UK.
Wow, this is pretty brave. And so from that point, you got a taste for it, and then you decided, you and your mate Adam, was it, did you say?
That's right, Adam Atoll, yeah.
You decided just to go off and do it on your own next time.
That's right, yeah. The first time was with an organisation. It was a good organisation, but we decided to do it off our own back. So we arranged to go to Algeria in 2009 in our newly acquired at that point Land Rover, 1963 Land Rover Series 2A.
Doesn't sound very new, but go on.
Yeah, new, yeah, but new to us. So we took that across to Algeria. So we did a loop from London down to Italy, crossed over by ferry, and Tunisia, and big loop in Algeria, and then back again.
And so this is crossing. Well, describe to us the terrain then. I'm thinking Lawrence of Arabia. I'm thinking crossing over massive sand dunes.
You wouldn't be far off. Yeah, you wouldn't be far off. Lots of desert, particularly in Algeria, in the southern parts, certainly. There's some quite big crossings that we had to do with very little around, really. It's just us and the desert, mainly.
I mean, are there tracks to follow, or do you just have to pick your own route?
There are tracks, some of them very sort of loose speaking terms of tracks. There are some sort of marked out routes, and there are some documented routes, but sometimes it's very difficult to follow because you can't always just simply go by a map because it's not as well documented.
Presumably there aren't the landmarks to sort of work out where exactly you are if you're in the middle of the desert.
That's right. You can try to head for towns, but it's more difficult when you haven't got a town for 450 miles.
And the sands are shifting, so presumably the tracks that may have been there yesterday may not be there today?
That's true, yeah, and some of the tracks look like they'll be established tracks, and you'll find out that, you know, a few miles down, 10 miles, 20 miles down, that it just leads to a couple of shacks, really, and then you realise that you've gone off on a tangent somewhat.
Have you seen the film Ice Cold in Alex? Have you seen that film?
I have heard of it. I'm not sure that I've seen it.
I'm not entirely sure you should. Otherwise, you might not go off, because there's times where they're trying to push this van up this
steep sand dune. I do remember.
And it just looks like they'll never do it. And it lasts for about eternity, it feels like, as you're watching the film. But were there times then that you got lost?
Many times. Many times, yes. One of them that sticks in my mind is when we're in the Gobi Desert in Mongolia. And we were lost for a good couple of days. We were lost there. And it got a little bit... not worrying, but a little bit concerned when we got to the point where we were actually running out of water, and we had to filter some water from a river nearby.
A river?
Mm.
And was that by luck, more luck than judgment, that you found a river?
Not really. We were, to keep our bearings, we're essentially trying our best to follow the river. So we're keeping the river to our right-hand side so we can eventually follow it to a town. So that was our means of navigation at the time, because we were lost. Because other than that, we'd have possibly sort of kept on going around in circles. So we knew the river was there. It was a case of when we needed to use it, we'd start filtering the water, which we did have to do.
Define filtering the water in that situation.
At the time, we were convoying with another team briefly, and they happened to have a filtering system. I think it was a carbon filtering system.
So you couldn't have drunk the water straight out of the river?
If we had to, we would. We would have boiled it and filtered it using... paper or...
But what colour was it?
It wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad.
So you didn't have sort of, you know, wild animals
There would have been, I'm sure, further upstream, but you tend to pretend that isn't happening.
And sat-navs don't work?
Sat-nav would be completely pointless, because there are no roads for it to tell you where to go. You could use a GPS system to, say, to track to a waypoint. That's not a facility that we had.
Okay, stay with us, Alex. It's Why Would You Do This? We'll try and get to the bottom of this. Coming up after a bit of the Four Tops, here on The Jeremy Salas Show, BBC Radio Cambridgeshire with your... Jess's Friday Phobia, a foray into the weird and wonderful life of Cambridgeshire residents, has concluded today, really, with the letter X. Xerophobia, which is a fear of dryness, and I'm joined in the studio by a man who laughs in its face, because he crossed many a desert in his 4x4 with his mate Adam. It's Alex Collard, a rusty rhino. What's the website for your...
It's rustyrhinos.com.
There we go, because we'll talk more about your current fundraising mission as well. I'm worried, though. So you go out into these deserts, is there a chance you don't see any other people for days?
There is, yeah, a good chance of that. One example of that is a crossing that we did in Algeria between Janet and Tamarin Set, which is 450 miles, where there is no towns in between. So you have to make sure you're stocked up on everything, stocked up on fuel, water, of course. And, may not see anyone for a very long time.
Do you know what? I the most terrifying experiences in my life usually involve driving on the A1 when I'm looking at the petrol gauge and I've just gone past the petrol station and I'm thinking, I'm never going to get to the next one. Do you know what? It fills me with dread. I almost have a heart attack with the terror of the whole situation. And yet you're going into the desert with just a couple of jerry cans in the back.
That's right. Yeah, we just have a couple of jerry cans. When we know we're going to do a big crossing, we have a couple of auxiliary plastic cans that we fill up and strap to the roof. But other than that, yeah.
Any breakdowns?
Many. None that have completely stopped us. We've had suspension breaks, we've had radiator leaks, we've had the chassis snapping. One of the ones that's sort of in my mind greatly is in Morocco, where the two front chassis legs snapped off, and we had to limp to the nearest town where they could weld it back up again.
But you've never come across anything, or feared about coming across anything mechanical that you can't patch up enough to get to where you need to get to.
That's right. Yeah, we have faith in the locals and in the countries that we go to, and they're normally very good.
And in yourself, though. So, who's the mechanic? Are you the mechanic?
We're both fairly mechanically minded. I do fair amount of the repairs. Adam is a really good assistant at that. But we both get mucky, and we both give things a go. Yeah.
Well, what's your day job?
I'm an IT guy, and I'm also a first aid trainer. So quite a big world apart from navigating the desert.
Really? So you're not used to getting your hands oily then?
Only repairing my own Land Rovers, not through work.
You must get on well with Adam then as well. Have you ever had any sort of tiffs? I mean, if you spend enough time with somebody, it's just you two crossing the desert, and that must get... And you're sort of in stressful situations when you're lost. That must be quite difficult.
Never had a fallout with Adam on the trips. We get on really well. It's just one of those lucky friendships, I think, perhaps because I've known him from high school, and, you know, We grew up together. We'd never had a tiff on a trip. No, we come across some very stressful situations. It tends to be when if one person is getting stressed, the other remains calm, and that would level us out. So between us, we tend to come up with a good strategy.
What about dangerous situations? You're in the middle of nowhere. If you come across sort of nomadic, I don't know, sort of, I know, Bedouin bandits?
We have had one scenario in a country where we were led to a village because we were a little bit lost, and we weren't keen on the situation. It was getting into the evening, and we weren't keen on the people that were surrounding the car.
What was it about them?
They just didn't look quite right, put it that way. Whether they were whether we took it as aggressive, or you know, whether they looked just didn't look right, but we tried to drive away. At what point they chased us on foot and tried to jump on the car, and later on we were chased by motorbikes. So that's probably one of the scariest moments.
Do they have guns?
I didn't see any. I hope not. So rather think that they didn't. But we didn't want to hang around.
And how did she get away then? You were just faster.
We were. Yeah, we just had to keep going and not look back, essentially. Just keep our foot down.
And hope you didn't break down.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Now, you look very young. How old are you, may I ask?
Perhaps not as young as you think. I'm 32. My friend Adam's the same.
My goodness, you must have very strong sunscreen. My goodness.
Perhaps.
Wow. I was going to ask, what did your mum think to this?
Oh, she encourages us. Yeah, she encourages us. She enjoys watching the progress, because we put regular updates when we're out and about to our website. And she did come on one of our trips with us. My mum and her husband came along, husband Morris. She came along in 2009 when they came to Sahara, to the Sahara rally with us through Algeria. So they took their old Range Rover. Next year, we're hoping that they might accompany us partway towards China.
Well, congratulations to you. I mean, it's incredibly brave. And your next endeavour then, and your charity fundraiser, is what, this trip to China? Or?
That's right. Yeah, next year, the end of June next year, we're going to head out towards China. So again, it will be the Europe, Ukraine, Russia, Kazakhstan, Mongolia, and then down into China. It's approximately 10,000 miles.
Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon and driving the miles as well, because you're actually home is actually for you, Grantham, but you got in touch with the show because you drive through Cambridgeshire all the time.
Regularly in Cambridgeshire, working in Cambridgeshire. Last week I heard some of the tales, so I sent a text in and thankfully got him back in contact. So.
Yeah, great. Alex, thank you so much. The website address once more?
Our website is rustyrhinos.com, and the charity that we're supporting is the Mercy Corps.
Alex Collard, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the...